Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of Reed's Wrestling. I'm your host, Alan Reed, and today I'll be reviewing the November 29th edition of Raw. Before I get into my review, I wanted to give my quick thoughts about something that WWE has been doing lately, and that is asking us, the fans, our opinions about NXT 2.0. I think it's interesting, to say the least, because they've never really asked us about what we thought about any show. Usually, rightfully or so, they never really cared, or I guess I'll say quote unquote cared about what we thought of the product. You know how it goes. They give us the product, we either take it or we don't take it, and we just give our opinions on social media, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it may be. As for my opinion about NXT 2.0, I think it's going good. There's, you know, a bit of an attitude there, a little ruthless aggression attitude I'm seeing. Maybe I'm in the minority. The character development, I think, is good. Every week, the characters grow and grow, become either bad or more good. The show, I think, runs smoothly. It doesn't bore me at all. It doesn't make me want to change the channel. 2 hours, I think, is the perfect amount of wrestling we need for at least that day, or at least that new episode of the show. And it made me think, okay, maybe why not do something like that for Raw and SmackDown, kind of instead of trying to hear our opinions about NXT 2.0. Don't get me wrong, it's a great show, and it shouldn't even be considered the bottom tier. I think it's a top tier show, but it'll be interesting to see what if our opinions go straight to the source, straight to headquarters, and maybe they can change Raw and SmackDown, which I think SmackDown is destroying Raw. And I think the biggest drawback for Raw is it being 3 hours. I think sometimes it's just too much. Sometimes there are episodes of Raw where it's just great. You don't feel the 3 hours. But then there's episodes where you really, I feel, at least for me, I just feel it, that 3 hours is way too long. 3 hours feels like 5 hours because it just drags on. And with this poll being put up, it raises the question of what if Vince McMahon isn't liking what's being shown on NXT and is low-key trying to change something or change the whole product itself. So which is what worries me, because right now I think NXT 2.0 is great. It's running smoothly. The new wrestlers that they brought in, I think they're bang on the buck, and have this whole new school, old school type of feel. I think it's great. It's running smoothly. Does Vince McMahon need to put any more input into NXT? I would say no. I feel like they should just keep it Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and whoever else runs NXT. I think it should be more of them. And obviously, either way, Vince is going to put an input. But I don't think Vince McMahon should put so much of an input, because we've seen a lot of times right now what happens when Vince really puts his stamp on something, and it's just not really working out. So with that being said, we're going to go straight into the review. And the night starts off with Seth Rollins' surprise announcement. Seth Rollins, he starts teasing us with that he has some breaking news. And he announces that at Day One in Atlanta, the first pay-per-view of 2022, it's going to be Seth Rollins versus Big E for the WWE Championship. I think it's a great way to start off the new year, I'm not going to lie. Both superstars are great. They're probably going to have one of the best matches in the first quarter of 2022. At least I hope. Although I would say having a pay-per-view literally on New Year's Day is kind of a drag, I would say, because I'm just thinking more of like a family man, in a sense of, okay, you spend New Year's, but then I don't think you're going to be New Year's with your family because you have to fly out to Atlanta. But it is what it is. So in this segment, then Finn Balor ends up crashing Seth's moment, and Finn Balor quickly goes on the attack on Seth Rollins outside the ring. He beats the hell out of him outside the ring, which leads into Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. I honestly love the intensity that Finn Balor came in with this match, even before the match even started off, technically speaking, because when he was attacking, the belt hasn't even officially rung at this point. And once the bell rung, Finn Balor quickly goes for the coup de grace, but then Seth, he rolls out outside the ring. And Finn Balor ain't playing here. This guy, I feel like he needs the win. And I feel like, he's a top tier superstar, at least top 10, I would say, for WWE. But they're not really utilizing him as well as they should or as they have before. So I really hope 2022 will treat him better and we can actually see him go up the ranks and hopefully get more championship runs. And as the match continues, Cervon, he does a Falcon Arrow and he almost gets a 3 count. And as the match progressed, there was a lot of false finishes, or if you don't know what false finishes are, it means when every single pinfall goes very, very, very close to a 3 count. I think this match was a great start to Raw. Quick, witty, intense. I would say the first match of any pay-per-view or any regular show during the week, the first match indicates what the night will be. So that's how I say it. So with this match being fast-paced and gritty and witty, I think I was like, okay, we're in for a good show. And for Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, both men just know each other extremely well. I mean, they anticipate each other's moves. They know what's going to happen. They know how to reverse it. They know how to take the move and then kick out of it. And then Finn Balor, he goes for another coup de grace and Seth rolls out of the way again. Then Seth Rollins gives Finn Balor the curb stomp and Seth Rollins gives the win. Now, with Seth Rollins getting the win, I personally think that maybe, Seth Rollins should have lost the match with Big E coming out to distract them to kind of start the feud for day one. But at the same time, maybe it's a little too early to start the feud. You know, we're just in November and the pay-per-view is until January 1st. But it's an indicator of long-term storytelling. You know, I will always say I miss long-term storytelling where a feud would go on for a few months, maybe 8 months, kind of like Randy Orton and The Fiend. It would go on for a few months, but every week it was something new, it was something fresh, it was something that would kind of make us want to see what's going to happen next. Now, it's a short-term storylines, which it lasts for a month or two or less, and then it just goes away. I feel like with Seth and Big E, they could have done a long-term storytelling that leads into day one. But we're going to see how they construct the storyline, because I don't know if I'm going to be feeling that much. So then we move on to Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan contract signing for the Raw Women's Championship. And I think Becky Lynch took a little note from Seth Rollins' wardrobe, because she wore a pink puffy jacket and Seth Rollins just wore a red puffy jacket earlier that night. And I mean, the style was on point. Why not? If your husband dresses like that, why not you dress like that either? And I'm always going to make this a point. Liv Morgan is the ultimate underdog right now. And any wrestling promotion right now, Liv Morgan is the ultimate underdog. Liv Morgan, she deserves all the opportunities coming her way. She has all the perks to be champion. She has the look. She has the skills. The mic skills, she's going to get there. Sure, when she talks to the mic is a little iffy, but hey, she's going to learn. She's going to progress. And I will never understand why they just don't make her champion already. I just don't know why. Like, with this match happening, Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. Okay. Will she beat Becky Lynch? Now, that's the toughest question I can say of 2021 for me. Of course, I want her to win. I want her to be champion. I want her to be in the spotlight. I want her to finally just be the champion. But at the same time, I really, really don't think that Becky Lynch will drop the belt to her. I don't see Becky dropping her championship till, I don't know, Royal Rumble or even WrestleMania. I really don't see her. I mean, it's not even her call, really. It's Vince McMahon's call. But like, when Vince is high on someone, you know how that goes. I would love to see Liv Morgan win the title. I would literally celebrate in my living room. I will jump up and be like, finally, something new happened. And as the segment went on, Becky Lynch, obviously, her being her, she takes credit for everything that Liv Morgan has been doing to her for the past weeks. She says, like, hey, you're welcome for making you feel vicious. You're welcome for making you feel savage. You're welcome for everything that I've done to you. Which I would actually agree with. Becky Lynch has been pushing her buttons, and we've seen another side of Liv Morgan that we've never really seen. This is more of a, like, you know, no fucks given, badass Liv Morgan, which I dig. And turns out that the match would take place next Monday night on Raw. I honestly thought it was going to happen on day one, but hey, sooner, I'd rather have it sooner than later. I'm okay. So then Liv Morgan, she shows backstage footage of Becky Lynch after her match with Charlotte Flair from Survivor Series, where she's crying and talking about how, you know, they were such good friends, and now there's so much hatred and she doesn't know why. And the embarrassment on Becky Lynch's face was real. I mean, Becky felt embarrassed, she felt weak, she felt vulnerable. I think Liv Morgan owned her in that part. And then Liv Morgan went on to tell Becky that because of her expensive contract, all her friends are gone. Ouch. That, you know, obviously that is a reference to the recent WWE releases, and her case being Sarah Logan and Ruby Soho, or Ruby Riott, as she was calling WWE. And there was a little bit of truth, maybe, because, you know, Becky Lynch's contract is a bit expensive, and they can't really have other women wrestlers that don't really do much. At least they didn't do much in WWE. And this fires up Becky. Becky's fired up tonight. And then she apparently proposed a match to Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. So it's going to be Team Liv versus Team Bex for Raw. And I'm okay with it. It's a random Survivor Series-esque type match, but I'm all over it. Like I said, Liv Morgan is bringing the intensity. I love it, and I really, really hope they can actually see that she has it. Then we move on to RK-Bro versus the Dirty Dogs, or Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, for the Raw Tag Team Championship. I still say the Dirty Dogs is the stupidest name ever created in WWE history, and there's been really stupid names that have been created over the years, but just, it's so basic, Dirty Dogs. And I'm starting to wonder how long RK-Bro is going to last, because, you know, as we've seen, they love to break up a good tag team that's over with the fans and try to get some sort of reaction out of us. I'm giving them till maybe the first quarter of 2022, and they're just gonna go. They're gonna make Orton the heel, and obviously Riddle's gonna be the babyface. Or it'll be interesting to see Riddle become the heel, and then Randy Orton become the babyface. Be interesting to see Riddle as a bad guy, which I don't think no one, or at least I can't picture him being a heel. But hey, you never know what could happen with this. As for the match, Dolph Ziggler, he did his best to keep Riddle grounded, and then Ziggler delivers a vicious super kick to Randy Orton outside the ring. And as the match progressed, the Dirty Dogs, I hate saying the name, but it just shortens the name. The Dirty Dogs, they've actually been able to keep RK-Bro down. They've actually pretty much dominated RK-Bro during most of the match. They've had most of the offense as the match went on. Then Dolph Ziggler, he does a zigzag and almost get a three count. Then Ziggler, he runs straight into an RKO, and then RK-Bro retains their tag team championship. It was a whatever match, nothing special. It almost felt like the Dirty Dogs, like Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, just a jobbers for RK-Bro. Wasn't really much. Then we move on to Edge's epic return to Raw, and I was surprised. I actually kind of thought this was going to be the main event or the final segment leading into the main event, but no, it was really early on in the show. And I think it's always a treat to see Edge back in the ring. I mean, he just looks really happy. He looks like he's at home, and I just love it. And I'm always wondering, like, Edge is so over with the fans right now as a babyface that I think it would be cool to kind of see Edge go back to being a heel at least one more time before he retires. I mean, the guy is menacing as a heel. That guy is probably one of the biggest heels of WWE history, and he doesn't get a lot of praise for being heel, at least. And a lot of, like, people's minds, they don't really think of him as one of the best heels ever, but I think he is top 10 greatest heels of all time. So Edge, he's doing his speech, he's glad to be back in Raw, and out of nowhere, The Miz is back with Maurice, and wow, that was actually a surprise on the night. I didn't expect Miz to come back at all. I actually forgot that he was even gone, to be honest, because I don't watch Dancing with the Stars or his reality TV show, though I've seen a few episodes, and it is funny, but I don't keep up with it. And The Miz basically is jealous that he didn't get that, you know, quote unquote big return news that Edge did. As you know, Edge was like, oh, the reports and the news stations were saying, oh, Edge is returning. Well, The Miz, you know, he didn't get anything. And The Miz's remarks about Dancing with the Stars are actually funny. I don't know why. It's just the Miz is low key comedy gold for WWE. He's funny without even trying to be funny, which is what makes it funny. You know how in WWE most of the times, or 99.9 of the times, they try to do comedy and it just doesn't work. It falls flat. You can tell they were trying really hard to make us laugh, which doesn't make us laugh. But with the Miz, it's just so smooth, so natural. It just comes out. So when he was talking about Dancing with the Stars, I was actually chuckling. I was like, okay, this is funny. And he just goes like that, we forgot to vote for him, which I actually thought the way he said the line was hysterical. So obviously this plants the seed for an Edge versus the Miz match at wherever they're gonna do it, probably at Day One. And obviously the feud just started, the rivalry just started. This is gonna be an interesting feud. I actually say it's gonna be an interesting feud. Edge versus The Miz. Both men are great on the mic. Both men can talk shit for days on the mic, and they're gonna keep it going. And I think we might actually see some of the best promos of the year from these two men. Even though Edge promo with Seth Rollins on SmackDown takes the cake with his intensity and the way he spoke the words. But I would say don't cast out The Miz. The Miz knows how to do promos, so I'm actually kind of excited. It's going to be an interesting feud to see. Hopefully, they kind of keep it going. So, I'm interested to see how they're actually going to do this. So, then we move on to Street Profits versus Alpha Academy, which is Chad Gables and Otis. And we have AJ Styles on commentary, or a blind AJ Styles, apparently, because he was blind and he has glasses, and he's actually selling it. I've actually given him so much props for it. He's selling this whole blind thing that he's going through right now. I guess they just needed to give him something, and they decided, hey, we're not just this accident happened to you last week, and we're gonna like make sure you go with it next week. It's a random gimmick, but hey, it is what it is. And as to be honest, as for Street Profits and Alpha Academy, this isn't going to be a challenge for Street Profits. At least I thought. I was like, okay, you know, Alpha Comedy, they're there. I still say they got to give Chad Gable something better. I mean, this Alpha Academy crap is just, it's just so bland. I don't see anything happening. Otis, I think he deserves way better too. They were pushing him 2 years ago with Money in the Bank, and obviously that fell apart. I think these two just deserve way more. As for the match was so quick, it ended in a blink of an eye. Montez Ford gave Chad Gables a frog splash, and literally the Street Profits win the match. Almost then gave AJ a confused look, because AJ interfered in the match and apparently he wasn't blind, and almost kind of gave a look, was like, hey, I thought you were blind and now I'm confused. So could they be showing us that they're going to break up soon, or almost is not gonna trust him no more? Like I said, tag teams only last so long in WWE right now. So, and this is a tag team that, to be honest, I don't even know how it came to be, or how it's still working, but it's working. So we're gonna see how it progresses. I feel like Vince McMahon is gonna give almost the okay to become a singles competitor now. So we're gonna see how that happens. So then we move on to Damian Priest versus Apollo Crews for the United States Championship. I'm always saying this to everyone that asks me, or I just bring it up randomly. Damian Priest is going to be world champion sooner rather than later. He is going to be a main eventer. He is going to go to WrestleMania. I wouldn't be surprised if he main events WrestleMania soon. I don't know why. I just look at him. He looks like a rock star. He acts like a rock star. He acts like a rock star in the ring. This guy is gold. And I hope that he's like, for me, he is the male version of Liv Morgan, the way I see it. Damian Priest has it all, and he's not much of an underdog as Liv Morgan, but Damian Priest needs to climb the ladder. He needs to be up there. He needs to go get the world championship as fast as he can. As for the United States Championship match, it was fast. It was fast match. Literally nothing happened. Then the match, I didn't really highlight anything special that happened, other than Damian Priest retaining the US championship match. Nothing special happened. But I will say that as for Apollo Crews, His spotlight has dimmed down a little bit ever since he debuted as this Nigerian king or warrior. You know, he used to be used way more on SmackDown than he is used on Raw. And it's a shame. I think that guy is talented. That guy is athletic enough. I don't really know what they're going to do with Apollo Crews. I wouldn't be surprised if he was to get released next in the next round of releases, which it would actually make me sad, because I think Apollo Crews has a lot of potential and still has more to give, and they're not really giving him much as this new character they gave him, which I think in the beginning was great. It showed that, hey, he can be a heel too, but it's sad. So then we have Rey and Dominic Mysterio versus Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander, or the Hurt Business 2.0 is what I'm calling it. Again, nothing much special happened in this match. Dominic and Rey, they did a double 619. Dominic does a frog splash, and Rey and Dominic get the win. Again, another real quick match that I didn't really want to highlight anything because it just finished in a blink of an eye. And I'm still waiting for that father and son feud that supposedly they keep planning, but it has yet to happen. So then we have Team Liv versus Team Bex. And shockingly, Liv and Becky, they start the match. And like I said in the beginning of the podcast, this match felt like a elimination match, a Survivor Series elimination match. I think this should have been an elimination match instead of a one-fall finish match. There was 10 women in the ring, and with all those 10 women, you have to pin one of the women to get the win. I think it would have been more interesting to see the elimination match, but obviously with elimination matches, we all knew what was going to be the outcome of this elimination match. It was going to come down to Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch. So maybe that's why they didn't end up doing an elimination match. Rhea Ripley, she basically takes out everyone from Team Bex with numerous punches and super kicks. And Carmella then gave Rhea Ripley a pretty good super kick outside the ring, which kudos to Carmella. I don't know why, but ever since she's wearing this weird mask every single match, she's been getting a little better in the ring. So I don't know, some voodoo shit with her, whatever it is. But then Team Liv wins the match, and then all hell breaks loose. All 10 women end up fighting one another after the match, and Liv Morgan gives Becky Lynch the Oblivion. With that being said, I still say Liv Morgan's gonna win next week. I'm putting money that Liv Morgan will win next week. As for the other, as for everyone else in the women's, I feel like they kind of wanted to just give TV time to all the women wrestlers that were in backstage too. And I think it has a lot to do with last week, with how Rhea Ripley was pissed off that her tag partner Nikki A.S.H. wasn't in the tag match, and they put her this week in the team match. So it is what it is. So then we have the main event of the night. We have Kevin Owens versus Big E. This was actually a match that I was waiting for the whole night. I actually kind of was like, okay, might be a good match. You never know. And there was a stipulation to this match. If Kevin Owens wins, he gets added to the championship match at day one. So it'll be a triple threat match if Kevin Owens beats Big E on Raw. And then we have Seth Rollins on commentary, and he's very skeptical. He's very serious, but not serious at the same time. So it was kind of weird. But then, to be honest, the whole night, there's been a lot of color commentaries. Like, we have AJ, we've had Seth, we've had this and that. I was like, okay. Kevin Owens worked on Big E's leg for most of the match. Then Kevin, he smacks the headset off Seth Rollins. And you can see what Kevin Owens, he's smart. You can see what he was doing as he slapped the headset off Seth Rollins. I was like, okay, I see you, Kevin. I see what you're doing. And then Big E, he does a splash on the apron to Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens then gives Big E a DDT on the steel steps. Kevin Owens then does a cannonball and a super kick to Big E, and only gets a two count. I honestly thought Big E was going to lose at that moment. I was like, okay. That was very, very, that's like a two-quarter count. Then Kevin Owens, he goes after Seth Rollins. He attacks Seth Rollins on commentary, and he gives it to Seth Rollins. And then Seth Rollins comes into the ring and attacks Kevin Owens. So it's a disqualification. So Kevin Owens won by disqualification, which means he won the match. So like I told you, when he slapped the headset off Seth Rollins. Obviously, Kevin Owens was baiting Seth to come into the ring and attack him and get the DQ for the win. It's perfect. That is so Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is smart. He will do that. So now at day one, it's going to be a triple threat match. It's going to be Kevin Owens versus Big E versus Seth Rollins for the WWE Championship. I was actually disappointed in Seth. I was like, come on, Seth. You're smarter than this. You're smarter than anyone in the roster. You know, you've done it before. You know what he wanted you to do, and you did it. So you literally did what he wanted you to do. Come on, man. Seth Rollins is way, way, way smarter than that. But he let his ego, he let his frustration get the better of him. So he goes in, he literally causes himself the match, at least for the match being a singles match. Well, I mean, I think it's going to be more interesting. And I'm actually kind of happy that they've actually been pushing Kevin Owens again to a main event status. It's been a while since Kevin Owens has been a champion. So it'll be actually very interesting to see Kevin Owens win on day one. But that's for later on. That's way, way later on for day one predictions. With that being said, that will conclude this episode of Reach Wrestling. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.